Hello. Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. Today, Cindy Wingood and Dan Housem are sharing about North Valley Church's Beacon Ministry. If you have any questions about our sermon podcasts or North Valley Church, you can find us at our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning again. Wow, that was like cool worship. I dug that. We'll give a chance to thank them later on in the service. But as you know, if you've been around North Valley Church, we've got this thing called a sensory room. The pieces of the puzzle that came together that made it clear that, wow, maybe this is a direction that God is leading us to be. Is we've got a family or two with special needs participants in it, and we've got somebody who's got a master's degree in special needs education. And I'm like, maybe those two things go together, and there's a possibility that we can do something about this. So, Cindy Wingood has been leading the charge, making what is now called the Beacon Ministry. The sensory room is a piece of the puzzle of the Beacon Ministry. So I wanted Cindy to be able to come up here and just share her passion that she has and her thoughts about the kind of opportunities we have that God's laid before us in our Beacon Ministry. If you would, please, Cindy Wingood.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Cindy. I, along with Nia and Theo, head up the Beacon Ministry. I'm sure you guys want to know more about that, but we're going to get to it a little bit later. First, I want to tell you a little bit about myself and my family, our journey that brought us here to NVC, as well as what God has been doing within NVC to bring us to where we are. So growing up, I knew I wanted to help people. I started college with the idea that I would be a neonatologist. Do you guys know how many years it takes to be a neonatologist? I was out. It's an infant, like the little teeny tiny, smaller than Amelia doctors. Don't want to do that. So then I was like, I'll just be a doctor. I'll be a regular doctor. The body's gross, guys. I didn't like it. I hated it. So I just went back to where I used to be. I always said as a little kid, I'm going to be a teacher someday. And I was best to be in a school that taught inclusion as absolutely normal. It was all they taught. You could not go to the school and get a general education degree. You came out of it with both general education and special ed all in the same shot. Inclusion is defined as the act or practice of including students with disabilities with the general student population, and to me, that was just common sense. So fast forward a few years, we have moved 350 miles away from all of our family. We did find a family in a church. We have three kids, three daughters, and we've been homeschooling for a few years. But we noticed that one of them was just a little different. We felt from the day she was born that she was going to do some sort of amazing things for God, and we just didn't know what it would be. But something just wasn't right either. She behaved a little bit differently than we would typically expect. So I want to introduce you to someone. When Millie puts a slide up. This is my Kenny. And if you have ever met her, you know that she has magic hugs. We have heard that over and over and over again throughout her life. She can light up an entire room with her smile. She almost never stops moving, and she usually can't stop giggling for a couple of minutes. She spreads love without a single word, and we've heard repeatedly how she can make everybody's day, week, month, year just with a simple hello. She can also flip on a dime and throw herself on the floor crying over the wrong kind of butter. Or hit and kick us because we told her she had to pick up the sock on the floor. Or become completely unhinged because in the middle of a game, the rules changed a little bit. You see, Kennedy, who is our middle one, has SPD and ADHD. I'm sure you've all heard of ADHD. It's all out there everywhere. But SPD is called sensory processing disorder, and it's a little less known. It is defined as a condition in which the brain has trouble receiving and responding to information that comes through the senses. So a lot of you might immediately be thinking of that little kid who hates their clothes, right? They don't like the tags, or they don't like to be dirty. So we all know one of those kids. You might be one of those kids. But did you know that there are actually kids who crave that? SPD is a spectrum disorder, just like autism, and it's different in every single individual that has it. Who has gotten one of Kennedy's magic hugs? Yeah, they're pretty awesome, right? What you don't know is that you have actually helped her. She needs to be squeezed, and so she squeezes you. That squeezing mechanism pulls her neurons all together, and it allows her to calm down. She cannot focus on one thing at a time, but that squeezing tells her brain, here's this one thing right now. So then she's able to just return to whatever she's doing. In church, Kenny's able to regulate herself for the most part. There's really no issues here. She needs a lot less help than a lot of kids. She uses a fidget, or a Chewy, or Amanda's lap, and looks just like the kid next door. Nobody would know any different if you did not know what was behind it. But sometimes when we get home, we see it. She can become overwhelmed at church, and then when we get home, the day is done. She is a hot mess for the rest of the day. That is when her body knows that it is okay to relax and to just let it go. You might not ever see one of her differences if you don't know what to look for. Switch. That's her now, by the way. With her giggly smile. Go ahead, the next one, Millie. This is my friend Sawyer. That smile lights up my day every time I see it on Facebook. So it's been a couple of weeks. For those of you who don't know, we're in the middle of a fast. I haven't been on Facebook in a few weeks. I miss his smile. But he is super sweet, and he loves people purely. If his mom's burning a candle, he will walk over to it, blow it out like a birthday candle, and say, I wish for everybody to be happy. And that's what he wants most in the world, for people around him to be happy. But what you can't tell from this photo is Sawyer has autism, and he was nonverbal until he was 3 1/2, almost 4 years old. His mom says that now he never stops talking at all. He has a very hard time focusing on anything, though, for more than a few seconds at a time, which can lead to behavior issues and a lot of learning issues. If you can't focus, it's hard to learn, right? And communication concerns also become an issue. So Sawyer's in a classroom where he can learn with a few extra adults on hand. He's in an environment that works for him. My next slide shows me two more of my friend's little ones. Aren't they gorgeous? I love them. A college friend of mine has adopted these two kids, is in process of adopting three more, and still fostering three more, along with their biological child. That's nine kids, guys. Every single one of those nine kids has trauma. Trauma leads to special needs. So all of them are struggling. These two here are Kenzie and Xander. Kenzie is creative, she's kind, strong, super funny. Her mom loves her sweet and funny and genuine giggle that goes along with her sweet little soul. And Xander's a sweet, inquisitive, helpful, polite little boy who's an amazing little brother to it, or big brother to his little brother. His parents are always being told that Xander is the sweetest, most polite, smart child that they've ever met. But what you can't see in the photos is that both children are diagnosed with something called FAS. That's fetal alcohol syndrome. And like autism, it's a spectrum. Okay? Not every child looks the same. It manifests in several different ways. Kenzie struggles greatly with attention, with impulse control, and sleeping. She's 7 years old, but she still needs help with picking up her clothes in the morning, or hanging up her coat, or flushing a toilet and keeping the movement safe. She still struggles with those things because her brain is not quite developed correctly. Xander struggles with anger and aggression, understanding social cues, and following directions. At three, he came to her house, and he would scream obscenities at 3 years old. He would throw things across the room. He was super aggressive towards others. But with love and support, Kenzie and Xander, along with the other seven children in their home, have been able to self-soothe, and many of their struggles have lessened just by changing the environment. By getting to know your kids and changing your environment to fit your kids, rather than changing the child to fit the environment, they can thrive. Now, you might recognize our next one. This is Emily. Emily started attending NBC occasionally when we first opened, simply because her church wasn't open yet, and the McBrides work with her dad, so they invited him along. Emily came to us a very sweet but very shy little girl. If you've seen her around church, you can see some of her struggles immediately. She wears braces on her legs to help support her. She wears thick glasses to help her see. But what you can't see is she has some invisible disabilities as well. She's easily overwhelmed by people, by noise, and by mess. Emily is diagnosed with spastic, diplegic, cerebral palsy, and hopefully I said all that right. She also has global development delay and a severe speech impediment. And there's a lot of behavioral issues that go along with that. When she first started, her mom came down and talked to us all about her, told her all these things. This is what happens. If she needs something, just call me. I'll come down and take care of it. You guys don't have to worry about it. We are completely good with parents coming down and helping out. But when I hear, I'll just take care of it for you, that tells me that mom is wanting to keep it away from us. We want mom to enjoy. So we had a different conversation. And so we changed some things downstairs. We put her snack was a big one. We asked, what are things that we can do? Simple changes allowed Emily to be comfortable with us. We served her snack, which was very specific in the beginning, had to be a certain snack, had to be in a cup, not on a paper towel, because it made less mess that way. And we always had wipes available. And it was just normal. Everybody just knew that that's how Emily got her cup, how her snack. But in time, we started to see some changes in Emily. She asked for different snacks that were a little bit more messy. So we asked mom, and she said, if she's asking for it, go for it. So she got those, and then she didn't want that cup. You do not hand Emily a cup with a snack anymore. She does not want it. She wanted to be like the other kids in the classroom, and she knew by this point that we were there to help her. If she got messy, we were going to be able to clean her up, so she couldn't struggle with that on her own. She had somebody there to help. We accepted her feelings and her behaviors as part of her, and she chose to trust us to help her when she was feeling upset. I remember the day this year that we painted the snowman. This was a big one for me. It involved painting the hands of each child and putting handprints all over the snowman. Some kids hate that. Okay. In preparation, we had gloves available. We had lots of wipes. Some students used a paintbrush, and that was fine. So I was ready. When Emily came downstairs, I was ready to put that glove on her hand, and she goes, I don't want that. Okay. She wanted to put the paint on her hand just like everybody else did. And she wanted to do it like she wanted it. Again, this wasn't because we pressured her into doing it. It was because she knew that we were there to help her. She knew that that support was ready for her. So we'd gained her trust. Now Emily is just as crazy as the other kids on Family Sundays, running all over the place, jumping on stage when they're not supposed to be. You wouldn't know she has a speech impairment. I didn't know until her mom told me, because she speaks fantastically now. She's very easily separates from her mom, usually saying, I don't need you, go away. Okay. That's a big thing for kids with needs. And now Emily and her mom and her brother are regular attendees here, and we could not be happier to have them here. I want to wrap up my stories with a really big moment for Beacon Ministry. Millie, the next slide, please. A number of months ago, NV Kids was learning about who made them. I was in the room helping a student. I was on one side of the classroom. All the kids and the teacher were on the other side of the classroom, not to separate, but because he was more comfortable that way. And he was bouncing along on a peanut ball while the teacher explained and talked about the next activity. She handed out these little pipe cleaners to everybody. I got one. The child with me got one. All the other helpers in the room got one. And she walked us through making a person. Start with a little circle in the head, then you add the arms and the legs. Seems pretty simple, but as we were talking, we talked about how we were making these things, but God is who made us, right? So this was the conversation going on as we did this. Through it all, the kid I was working with was just bouncing. I'd ask, do you want to help me? No. If he said anything, most of the time he ignored me, which was fine. He kept on bouncing, and then after a while he goes, my turn. So I handed him some pipe cleaners, tried to help him. My turn. With very little help or reminders, he made his own little pipe cleaner. The rest of the class had moved on. The directions were done. He did it all on his own. When he finished, I said, who made this? And he answers with his name, and I said, "That's right, you made that." And he goes on playing with the little person, and he's bouncing on his peanut, and he puts the person on his peanut, and he's playing. And a little while later, I go, "Who made you?" And he looks at me, and he goes, "God." Like, duh, don't you know that, Miss Cindy? God made me. Just like that, matter of fact, I quickly got that teacher's attention, and I said, "Tell her who made you." God. He didn't even look up that time. Just an answer. In John chapter 9 of the Bible, Jesus was walking along with his disciples and saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answers, "Before I go on, I want to ask you, this is something that we all struggle with, whether you're a special needs parent or not. Why are people made differently? We all struggle with that. Is it because somebody sinned before? Is it because God can see some future sin coming?" But Jesus' answer explained it so much perfectly. John 9:3 goes on with his answer, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." God allows, or sometimes maybe he even creates these differences so that we can see God's light through them. This isn't a punishment, it's a blessing. And in that moment, this child wasn't changed at all. Of course God made him. He knew that. Why didn't I know that, right? But the teacher and I were blessed, and we were changed. He was learning regardless of whether or not it looked like he was learning. Even when they're not looking, sometimes especially when they're not looking at you, they are learning. Romans 9:21 reminds us, "Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?" So many of us think immediately to people who are out there doing some amazing mission work. But what if Paul is reminding us instead not to question the way God has created those with differences? Paul goes on to say, "What if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, who he prepared in advance for glory, even us, whom he also called?" Instead of asking, "Why did you make so-and-so like this?" Or, "Why did you make them so different?" What if we ask instead God to show us his glory through those he created exactly as they are? Let me tell you from experience, if you change your mindset to that, it changes you and it makes some amazing things happen. In churches, we talk a lot about the body of Christ, right? We do that a lot here at NBC. And we talk about serving and the gifts that the Spirit has given us. We talk about the different ministries available and how adults can participate as a body of Christ. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 reminds us of something. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts for one body, so it is with Christ. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I want to stop there for a moment. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We talk so much about what the adults can do for our church, but what about the kids? What about the individuals with disabilities that need some, maybe a little bit more support themselves? We tend to think of them as weaker and needing help, but how can they help us? Paul goes on to say, "But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other." No division. You can read that as no difference in importance. We have greater honor to the weaker parts. The differences that we view with weaker and weakness and pity, in God's eyes, are actually given greater honor. So we here at NBC are striving to view each of our members with their differences and give them the honor they deserve. So I want you to be honest with me a moment here. And I'm talking to those of you who come regularly. How many of you have been here for Family Sunday? Lots and lots of hands, okay? Now, how many of you can tell me what Dan talks about every single one of those Sundays? I don't see a single hand now, right? Family Sundays are complete chaos. I know some of you hate them. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I love watching how the kids are invited in. I like how they are included. Sometimes we turn it into the kids' service instead, and we get to be the kids. I love the chaos. But I know there are so many of you who have told Pastor Dan over and over again, this has got to stop. Right? It's okay. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you have ever been one of those people who was distracted or annoyed or frustrated during a family service. Yeah, I see hands. It's okay. Be honest. That's what some of these individuals feel like every single day of their lives. All those kids running all over the place drives you crazy. It can be every single day of your life, every moment of your life, something is driving you nuts. That tapping of the pen can cause a complete meltdown. That's what some of our people are struggling with, and we want to change the church to fit them. That is our goal in the Beacon Ministry. Noise can cause physical pain. Kids climbing around all over the place, that could be a panic attack waiting to happen. Too many colors actually turns into noise in your mind. Imagine living like that all the time. Many of you are aware that we have been working on the sensory room downstairs. Dan's talked about it repeatedly. It's been a big thing for the church. It's an awesome thing coming. But this month, we're also launching the rest of the Beacon Ministry. I told you we'd come back to that. So Beacon stands for becoming educated, aware, and considerate of others' needs. A little over a year ago, just a few months after we launched MVC in person, God showed members of the kids' leadership team, Dan, and myself, that there was more for this church in the special needs department. He started to show us that there's actually 10 to 30% of our NVC kids that could use some sort of support. Some of it's minor, little bits, being allowed to sit on my lap, holding a Chewy, all of that's minor, right? Some of the kids needed a little bit more support. And so we started to look into that. The sensory idea, or sensory room, was born out of that knowledge. We started working towards it. And a few months later, Mary and I attended a conference led by the Baptist Convention of Maryland and Delaware, along with the Bankwork Network. While there, we were blown away by the people. Okay? Everyone we came into contact with was amazing. The gathering place made our hearts explode. Okay? We loved it from the second we walked in. They pulled out these drums, and Mary and I were like, what are they doing? We were so excited. Allison Fournier we've since partnered with, shared a story about her son and how it led to the name of her church's ministry, Hello. And that actually changed how I look at my own daughter. I was always afraid because she has no stranger danger. If you know her, you know that part too. There is not a single bit of stranger danger in that child's body. But Allison talks about how kids with those kinds of needs say hello to people because they want someone to say hello to them. And it was kind of an aha moment for me. When we came back from that conference, I called Dan. In fact, I was still driving. And I called him and I said, this isn't just a sensory room. It's going to be a ministry and I have no idea what I'm doing. None. So I asked him to meet with me. And when we had our meeting, I just couldn't stop talking about it. Turns out, God had already told Dan the same thing. If you guys were here for the initial planning meeting, we were talking about the sensory room being like a break space. And the kid needs time to go over there. And I was all for that. Kids should be included in the room all times. Pull them out when they need it. Put them back in the room. Dan was like, I don't think that's what God's calling. After this convention, I was like, nope, that's not what God's saying. Dan was right. So we've talked a lot about it. And the Beacon logo and ministry in general was born quickly. The symbol's a lighthouse because we believe that all of these individuals with differences are going to be a light for and through our church. In order to walk alongside the individuals and their families, though, we have to become aware and educated so that we can consider them. In order to minister to all of our members, we have to know what helps them to learn best. For some of our kids downstairs, that does mean a room to be able to experience all there is to experience in a way that works for them, to be able to bounce on the ball the entire time we're talking to them, to be able to sit in a swing. All of you adults are going to be jealous here in a minute when I'm done talking. There's going to be all these stretchy swings and hammocks, noise-dampening headphones, calming lights, sensory boxes, all kinds of things available to the individuals who are going to need it. So I talked about some of the kids today, some who will use the room probably at some point. A lot of them won't. They're friends of mine from upstate New York. I just use them as examples that we could have coming in. But they were used because Dan and I have both heard from God that this is going to grow. There have been posts on Facebook of people looking for a special needs ministry. At the moment, when we first started this, I was like, I don't know that we're going to go there. God has made it very clear that that is exactly where this church is going. Sorry, catching back up. We have a vision to have a church that's full of individuals with all kinds of special needs. Every single one of us in this room has some sort of special need. There's some of you twitching your leg right now, right? Because you're sitting here for too long, you're moving your leg a little bit. So some of you can fix your needs for yourself. Others need a little bit of additional support. God has shown the PD and myself that he has plans to grow the special needs ministry within our church. But to do that, we need all of you to walk alongside us, to become educated, aware, and considerate of all the others' needs, to love every individual who walks in those doors enough to say, how can we serve you? I challenge you all to talk to God this week during your devotional time and ask him, how can I best serve the members of our church? I'm going to hand it back over to PD now for a little bit.
Yes, that. Thank you, Cindy. Cindy referenced the Baptist Convention of Maryland and Delaware, right? So we're Southern Baptists, for those of you who are shocked. It's okay. It's okay. I lead membership classes. To become a member, you need to have a class. I was leading a membership class, and I shared in the membership class, yes, we're a Southern Baptist church. One of the people in the class got up and said, seriously, because if that's true, I don't know if I'm going to stick around. They had Southern Baptist PTSD, so, and that's okay. But our state convention is intimately involved and excited and supportive of what it is that we're doing, talking about special needs ministry. Pastor Tommy talked about this fact that the state convention is working to do that. So I've got this friend who works at the state convention. His name is Tom Stoll. Tom's a friend of mine, but he's like the CFO, COO of the state convention office. He's like the second in command kind of dude. He's also got a son named Jimmy. Jimmy's like older teens, near 20, and he's a special needs kind of guy. Tom and I are friends, and Tom shared these slides. Pastors all got together in November for our annual meeting, and Tom shared these slides as part of the special needs emphasis. And I said, hey, Tom, can I borrow your slides? Absolutely. Here you go. So you see it. I'm giving full credit. Tom Stoll put the slides together. But I just kind of want to walk through this idea that a beacon ministry, being a church that's welcoming to folks with differing abilities, is something more than just having a room downstairs that we can offer to kids. Right? I want you to follow along with me for a minute. 13%. The percentage of school students, percentage of school students aged 3 to 21, yeah. Thank you. Percentage of school students 3 to 21 have a disability, according to the Department of Education. 20%. The estimated percentage of the United States population that has a disability, with more than half of those reporting that their disability is severe. 25%. Per the Christian Social Constructions of Disability Church Attendees, in the Journal of Religion, Disability, and Health, over 25 of participants in this survey said that they were either unsure or disagreed with the statement that people with disabilities were created in the image of God. 36%. Per the Journal of Scientific Study of Religion, children with a disability or a learning delay were 36% more likely to never attend. To never attend church than those not affected with a disability. we got four more slides to go, folks. 48%. Per the Journal of Scientific Study of Religion, children with conduct disorder or oppositional defiance disorder were 48% more likely to never attend church than those not affected by disability. 73%, per the Journal of Scientific Study of Religion, children with depression and anxiety were 73% more likely to never attend a church than those not affected by a disability. 84%, per the Journal of Scientific Study of Religion, children with autism spectrum disorder were 84% more likely to never attend a church than those not affected by a disability. 25 million. A recent Lifeway study revealed that the majority of the estimated 25 million adults with mental illnesses in this country believe that the church won't welcome them. Ugh! When I read that, I don't know whether to have a broken heart or to be angry. Right? There is an entire population of people who don't believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is a welcoming place for them. These people, just like everybody else, need to be part of a community, need to be experiencing and living Christ's love in community. You've heard me say things like this before. Churches, man, sometimes we do so much better job of telling people what we're against than telling them what we're for. I mean, let's take a moment and be the love of Christ for a group of people that Jesus loves. These people are feeling completely disassociated from the church. We're on an uphill battle. So I loved that Cindy alluded to. Man, we have an opportunity to be a light for folks when they walk in the door. Right? And I want you to be mindful, our battle is uphill. We're already in the hole. I just read you all the numbers of how people don't believe the church wants to minister for them. So I'm hoping, I want to be a person, a place, that when somebody with differing needs than myself walks in, they can feel loved and welcomed. That it's something more than just a room downstairs. It needs to be all of us. I would love to be able to do that, but I can't do it by myself. I would love for you to consider Cindy's words, to take this week and pray, man, what does that look like for me? We've got an opportunity to minister to people, to reach out, and it's as simple as helping them be feeling welcome. We can all own that. I would love for you to consider walking along in that journey with me and Cindy. I would like to ask the gathering place to come back up. And while they are, I would love for you just to take a moment and think about the numbers I read. That, you know what, Jesus has got something more going on. We're not going to get it right every time. We're going to make mistakes along the way. But you know what, I want us to at least embrace the idea. There's a people group, I like Pastor Tommy's words, there's a people group, a community that is not feeling the love of Christ. And maybe we have a role, a piece of the puzzle that we can play to share Christ's love with people so that they can know the same joy that we have in our deep relationship with God. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, man, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy that you pour out on every one of us. God, help us to be able to hear you speaking today. Where is it that you want us to be? What is it that you want us to do? Everybody here has an opportunity to play a role, to be a loving light for you, for a community of people that need that, just like every one of us. Lord, I lift up this time and thank you for this opportunity today. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus was teaching his disciples because they wanted to know how to pray. He said, well, if you're going to pray like this. And part of that prayer said, pray that God's kingdom would come as it is in heaven to be here on earth. Sometimes God allows us to experience Him, which to me is kingdom living, that you can experience a feeling of the Spirit of God coming in a place where this is like it is in heaven. Now, this is what we pray toward, and I feel like that happened today. That there was a sense that this is God's kingdom. This is what God would have us to be and to do, that we would start experience on earth like it is in heaven. This is an answer to that kind of prayer, because this is the heart of God, and there's no other way to explain it. And when a gathered group of people start to embrace that, people outside of the church start to understand God in a way, because they know we are Christians because we start loving in a different way. And the gathered church needs to be a place where everybody feels like they belong. There are no outsiders in the body of Christ. And that's what this last song is about, no outsiders.